This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. We hope you'll stay tuned. A month ago, Andreas Toubidakis held a classified position at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, but he resigned his post, voicing criticisms of U.S. nuclear policy. Dr. Andreas Toubidakis joins us today. Dr. Toubidakis, thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my thoughts with the people that are listening right now.
Well, we appreciate that you were able to be with us. Why did you resign from Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, sir?
There are quite a few reasons, but the most important I would say is that I realized that what the work that is taking place in these places is against humanity. It is not for the sake of humanity. It is not for the world. It is against the world. And I could not live with my conscience working in such places to know what is going to happen tomorrow and be a part of it.
This has to do with something that is referred to as the Stockpile Stewardship Program?
Precisely.
Talk, if you will, about what that program really is.
Stockpile Stewardship Program is a program instituted by the government, the DOE, Department of Energy, and has many facets, one of which is to analyze the aging processes of the materials used in nuclear weapons, such as high explosives, uranium, plutonium, organic materials, and polymers. It is aimed to maintain the nuclear arsenal and to make sure that the nuclear weapons will be reliable and safe. But under this name, it has become very apparent to all those that they are interested to find out that under that name is really a new arms race on. A new arms race is hidden behind that name. And this is something that the public must know, and to know where their tax money are going, to know that even if they believe their nation has to be protected by other countries, this is an overkill. This is more than enough that you can even think tax money spent for this purpose now. And it is driven by politics, and it is driven by the interest of a few people, and this has to stop.
How did you originally come to work at Lawrence Livermore Laboratories?
I originally came from Los Alamos National Laboratory. I had been in Los Alamos National Laboratory as a postdoctoral student in 1991, and I did basic research there for environmental projects, basic research, basic academic. And after some work in academia and in industry, I came back and as a visiting scientist for a while, and then I was hired with a contract working for Butler, but that was, of course, a contractor for DOE. So, in fact, I was working for the DOE, for the government, and I was doing environmental work, trying to analyze these materials that they were generated, legacy plutonium materials that they were generated years ago from all these projects making nuclear weapons. And I believed at that time that, and there were laws actually, and the news were on the news were on the newspapers and everywhere that they were dismantling weapons and that they need help to safely store this nuclear waste. And I felt no bad about doing such a thing because I thought that has to be done. But I believe what happened to me has happened to quite a few people, and it's going to happen to even more. What do I mean by that? I mean that you come in to do environmental or non-proliferation work, which I would like to put these two words in brackets, and I will explain to you very very soon why. And they go with these kind of dreams, and sooner or later they find themselves to work on nuclear weapons because the money that they are devoted for environmental and non-proliferation projects, they are, of course, much less than the ones that they devote for building or maintaining the nuclear arsenal. And since these budgets are not stable, people sooner or later find themselves without any money to do research that they were hired for, and they have no choice than to go and do weapons work. Besides this fact, which is nobody from within the complex can deny that, also there is something else that could be denied, but it cannot be proven. And this is exactly my own case, that I was hired at the lab of Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. I came to do environmental work. I came to do something that I was doing in Los Alamos. And I was not completely informed what my work is going to be exactly, what exactly I will be doing. I believe this is in this is that I want to believe. This is in my mind. And this is that they believe, and this is in their mind. Okay, each one can believe whatever he wants because it's his profit, it's his benefit. That's what he likes to believe. And there is a lot of misunderstanding because of that. And because of these kind of misunderstandings in our society, we have instituted a so-called informed consent. There are many businesses, there are many things that happen in our society, unfortunately, I would say, but it has to be done, I guess. And there is a form that you sign it, and after you sign it, you say, I read, I understood it, and I know what it means, and you're signing it. Well, this kind of thing is not happening in the national labs. It's not happening in these places. And that was one of my greatest concerns coming out of this place and raise my voice, that they should establish an informed consent when they hire scientists. They should tell them what they will be doing. They don't have to say exactly what they will be doing for national security purposes. But they can say if you will like to, that you will be working on nuclear weapons or not. And if you're not, that there's a possibility later on to go and you will have to work there unless you want to leave. If this is done, cases like in my case is going to be avoided, and also a lot of torture, conscious torture. People I know, because many people talked to me before I left, and usually they were people that I did not know very well, and that's why they felt free to talk to me, and they confessed to me that they know they're playing gimmicks and games with their minds to justify their presence in these places. They know deeply in their heart what they're doing.
We're talking with Dr. Andreas Toupadakis, who resigned from the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. Dr. Toupadakis is a nuclear scientist. Dr. Toupadakis, it sounds to me what you're describing is almost a classic bait and switch. It's, we'll get you in telling you that your talents and your education, your knowledge and your skills will be used to benefit the planet and benefit the people.
Precisely.
But once you get in, what you really find out is that you're working in an arena whereby those talents and skills are being used to make weapons of horrendous potential mass destruction.
Precisely. And I would like to make a comment of what you said. Albert Einstein is considered one of the most genius people in our century, and it has not been allowed people to know Albert Einstein the man, only the Albert Einstein the scientist. Very few people know that Albert Einstein was a peace advocate. Most people do not know, and I have seen so many scientists have his picture in their offices, and almost none of them, I have hardly found anyone to know what is the Albert the Russell Einstein Manifesto. And I would like to just quote one sentence only from that manifesto, which was actually written by Russell, a Peace Nobel Prize winner, and it was signed by Albert Einstein, and actually it was the last letter that Einstein signed before he died. And this is the sentence that I quote from that manifesto, a 2-3-page manifesto. It says, "People can scarcely bring themselves to grasp that they, individually, and those whom they love, are in imminent danger of perishing agonizingly." This was said 40, 50 years ago. And this is the question I will put to the minds of the people that are listening to us right now. At what point are we? If people are really watching what is happening, what is the rhetoric between the world leaders, even just 2 months ago, they know that we are in a real danger of perishing agonizingly. Largely, they will be the ones that they will perish instantly. But this statement that I read from people, they really had wisdom, and they knew what nuclear power means. They talk about perishing agonizingly, the ones that nothing will happen to them at the moment that these things will be released. And so this is the best secret kept in the whole world. This is a great secret. People have not been informed of what is cooking behind their backs. And unfortunately, it is cooked by their own sweat. People are going up and down on the highways to make ends meet. And there is such a portion from their income that goes building their own grave. And this is a clear call to the conscience of the people that are listening to these words today. And there are people in the past, they talk the same words. I'm talking these words today, and there will be other people tomorrow that will speak the same words. And I hope that people will listen to these words and think about them and get involved into the peace movement if they can make a difference, if it is not too late.
We're talking with Dr. Andreas Toupadakis. Dr. Toupadakis, let me ask you, because you make a statement. You say our nuclear policy is based on irrational fears driven by a tiny group of elites who shape public opinion. On the one hand, these tiny group of elites are attempting, it appears to me, to shape the opinion that they're trying to get rid of nuclear weapons, but that's not what's happening.
Of course not. Ted Taylor, who is one of the architects for decades of the U.S. nuclear program, he put it in a nice way. He says he used to work in Los Alamos. He was one of the most famous people working for the nuclear arsenal there. He says our government's policy is not to get rid of nuclear weapons. It is to perpetuate them through the euphemistically called stockpile stewardship program. And that is exactly what's happening. In one state, we're saying we are destroying weapons, and on the other state, we're making new weapons. And at the same time, we're asking the other nations to stop making weapons. When people, taxpayers, are going to wake up and find out what is happening? How can we do this? How can we say to the other nations, don't make nuclear weapons, when we are making them by hundreds, and we are planning to make them by thousands, and we have so many that they are able to destroy the whole Earth thousands of times, to eliminate life from the planet 1,000 times, and we are making more. What for? Even if we are advocates of national security, there is no any absolutely no sense to make more. United States right now is the most powerful nation on the Earth. It has much more than other nations. And if they really wanted to bring peace on Earth, it is possible. It is very easy. But people that have thought about these things, they know it is not really that we want peace. We want to exploit other nations. The stronger nation wants to exploit the weaker nation. Just like individually, as people, we exploit one another every day. And if we don't stop exploiting one another every day, the nuclear weapons are going to be used, and they will be used soon.
We're talking with Dr. Andreas Toupadakis, who resigned his classified position at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. Dr. Toupadakis, we just have a couple of minutes left. Any final thoughts for our audience this afternoon? And first, let me say, sir, I really admire your determination and courage in coming forward to tell people what's happening inside our national nuclear laboratories.
Well, in regard to what you said now, the last statement you made, I would like to say that my vision is to see nonviolent, vibrant, and skillful leaders in every nation who will be willing to carry the spirit of the peace movement on the table of international negotiations and decision-making processes. And I would love to say this statement to the people that are already involved in the peace movement, that even if our efforts do not accomplish the goal, our life has not been wasted, but has followed the path which the eternal light within us has shown us, and we have done our duty. For those that have not been involved yet in the peace movement, it is very urgent. I hope that people will see that soon. And I would like to give them a phone number and an electronic mail address that if they want more information about nuclear disarmament, here is a phone number, area code 510-839-5877. And this is the phone number for Western States Legal Foundation, which is part of Abolition 2000, a global network to eliminate nuclear weapons. And their electronic mail address is wslf@earthlink.net.
Dr. Andreas Toubidakis, thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share my thoughts.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the program today. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and it's been my pleasure to be part of the team bringing you Full Logic Reverse. If you'd like more information about FLR, you can contact us via email, flr@jps.net, or by telephone, 530-271-0804. We invite you to join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.